to item number 13.
12.
12 was... I'm sorry, 12. 13, 12.
From the interim director, labor relations, requesting authorization to ratify the 2012 memorandum of agreement between Milwaukee County and the Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals, Local 505001, AFT-AFL-CIO. This was also referred to the Committee on Finance and Audit, the Pension Study Commission, and the Pension Board. Finance and Audit approved this item by a vote of 6-0. Pension Study did not address this item this morning at their meeting that was adjourned.
Sure. Thank you.
Supervisor.
I wanted to move approval, and I'll just keep my comments brief, but we've had plenty of discussion about it. But I'm obviously happy that we've been able to reach a voluntary agreement on the extension for 1 year and that we're able to achieve substantial savings. And so I'm happy to move approval.
Thank you. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to just briefly try, if I can. I feel very strongly about all these things, as we all do, and this is an item we have very strong opinions on. And I think the reason that we need to pass this are multi. First of all, in the last two budgets, as a finance person for many years, we've had extremely difficult budgets in the last couple of years. I'm not going to go through all that. I've lived those. It's been very difficult. 1950 was the big issue. I should say 1950 the big issue this year. That was about pensions. That's where all the savings was supposed to come from. The year before was the big order, 1972, which is about health benefits. Okay? So we've had 2 years of negotiations, which have been very difficult, with fiduciary responsibility, try to balance the budget. And we know from the unions we need their voluntary help. We can't demand that they do these things. The nurses, health professionals, have stepped to the plate. They took the concessions that we have done to ourselves as elected officials over the last few years, as we've done to all the non-reps over the last few years. They didn't have to do this. You know, I think of professionals, I do think of nurses, and they work in the trenches. There is a difference here, in my mind anyway. The fact that they work in the jail, they work in mental health. These are tough jobs. If you go out there and visit, you know what I'm talking about. They worked with us. We need cooperation. We need cooperation to balance the budget. We should reward people who take the concessions and come in union with all of us, non-reps and elected officials. They did all sorts of things. If you look at their contract, is everything the budget repair bill would be asking for financially. I myself don't see any difference in maybe the employee benefits. Mr. Ball could speak to that. But what we've done is everything that we've talked about in the last couple of years and done here, paying for pensions. By the way, the budget repair bill, of course, isn't retroactive. Unlike AFSCME, in the last 2 years, the nurses, of course, have been paying the extra health benefits. So that's six figures. The last couple of years, the nurses have saved us already, us and all the taxpayers. This is an example of union and taxpayers having to work together. I think they should be rewarded for that. It's not a reward. It's just it's a affirmation. It's a confirmation of working together and biting the bullet along with everybody else that needed to be done. So 60-64, 2.0 to 1.6. No increases in the advancement in pay, freezing of wages, all the way down the line. Also, a very, very important point in litigation with ASMA right now is and retirees' language. Everything they pass automatically goes on retirees. It's terrifically expensive for the county and our taxpayers. They have waived that as well. They waived, and we had a lot of suits to the Wisconsin Employee Relations Committee, collaterals on furloughs, went through all the furloughs problems, overtime and questions there. They deferred on those furloughs. They didn't take overtime. They worked on the furloughs when they weren't subject to it. You know, health professionals and our firefighters and police exempt from these. They volunteered and did these things. It's only 255 full-time employees. It's very valued full-time employees, as all our employees are. But they have worked with us. They've cooperated all the way through. And all the concessions that are looked for, the budget repeal, all the concessions financially that we've asked for, I don't know how else we could get those. And they volunteered to do these things, and that's why I voted the way I did in finance, and we'll vote today as well to approve the contract with the nurses. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor
Rice. Thank you.
Supervisor Rice.
I don't feel strong about that. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think before we do any collective high fives around here, similar to what I think I witnessed yesterday at the Finance Committee, I think that we need to have a little further discussion in terms of what the fiscal impact is. I thought I heard represented in the comments just before me, similar comments that were made at yesterday's Finance Committee, that I was compelled to come and ask the question at the Finance Committee, and that is the suggestion somehow that this agreement provides us with a better deal than would be available to us if we were to wait until implementation of new state law. And I thought I asked that question at Finance yesterday, and the answer I thought I got from Mr. Bob was the answer is no. I'll ask again, you know, if I was mistaken, but we will, after the enactment of the state law, have an entirely different landscape with respect to our ability to exercise management rights and to in our relationship with this employee group. Were we to wait, all of these matters become prohibited subjects of bargaining. We have a great deal additional latitude as to how we implement programs, what sort of programs we implement, what our entire benefit scale. We will still have to negotiate limited issues with respect to wages, but I think it's incorrect, I'll ask Mr. Bow to tell me if I'm wrong, to suggest that this contract puts the county in a better financial position or even an equal fiscal position than we would be were we to wait until after the enactment of the state law changes. Pose that question to Mr. Bowles.
I think there's two parts to that answer. I believe the part of your question is whether or not this is this is a better deal than what we could get after the bill becomes law, supposedly now on June 29th. I think the answer to that question in generalities is no, it's not. But I think there are some specific items in this agreement that exceed what we would be able to get under the new law. And those are two areas that I think are very costly as well as very important to the county. The health insurance provision in this agreement, or let me back up, we are not bound by the new law's health insurance articles. And therefore, the proposal includes a greater percentage of health insurance payments by the Nurses Association. The percentage payment in the contract will be around 20% of the benefit of the premium, monthly premium. The state calls for, I believe, 12.8% in their budget standpoint. So that's a difference. That's an improvement right there that we've got in this contract. The other thing is there is a wage freeze for 2012 in this contract, which under the law we would be able to negotiate up to the CPI, which are roughly 1 to 2%. So that is frozen for 2012, and that would be the only thing that we would be able to negotiate with them as far as an increase. So I would say that in that way we have exceeded what the budget repair bill would limit us to. In those two areas, I think, are very costly, and I think, yes, there are other things in the contract that we would be able to negotiate, but I don't think the balancing act comes through with respect to the economic impact of this agreement.
Yeah, let me just probe on that a little bit so I understand it. I agree with you with respect to the 1% of the wages for the second year. The question on health insurance, though, are you saying that going forward, under your understanding of the enactment of the budget repair bill, that we would continue to have to maintain the status quo with respect to our health insurance benefits?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we are, in this contract, we are increasing the amount of monthly premium contribution that they are making over and above what is called for in the law.
The law calls for us as Milwaukee County, once it's effected, going forward, it calls for us to have a particular type of health insurance, and it calls for us to require a certain percentage of premium be paid by employees?
That part of the law is not effective to Milwaukee County.
Okay, so what will our options or our obligations be with respect to these employees going forward on health insurance after enactment of the state budget repair bill provisions?
We
indicated earlier that we'd be better off under this contract than waiting. And so if we were to wait, what I heard you say is that we will be in a worse position with respect to health insurance costs for Milwaukee County.
Well, maybe worse wasn't the appropriate word. We are in a better position with respect to health insurance costs from the employees than what we would be obligated to, even though we are not under the state law.
Okay, now we understand what's in the contract.
Correct.
But going forward, what will the options be for Milwaukee County under health insurance provided to the nurses?
At the expiration of this, or at the end of the contract, at the end of 2012, we would be able to modify the plan more than what this contract gives us.
You didn't understand my question. If we were not to enact this contract and allow the budget repair bill provisions to go into effect, all right, what will the options be for Milwaukee County with respect to health insurance benefits and the premium that will be required to be paid by employees?
Whatever the board would pass.
Thank you. And I think that's the question I'm looking for.
Well,
and so we can't really compare, you know, and make a relative judgment as to which is better or worse, because we have the ability to make significant changes in the health insurance benefits going forward that can't be compared to what we've got here. So it is, in my mind, you can't make a representation that this is a better deal than waiting.
I'm sorry, Mr. Grady, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the answer that I would provide to you is twofold. One is, you're correct. If, in the absence of this extension for 2012, the county would have essentially free rein to administer health insurance as it wishes with this employee group. But this contract does contain a reopener clause, which gives you that same right under the contract.
So, my question is: are we better off waiting as opposed to initiating this contract from a fiscal standpoint? Can somebody tell the committee? Can either of you indicate to us that yes, we would be in a better fiscal position ratifying this contract today than allowing the state law to go into effect? What are the opportunity costs that are available to Milwaukee County by waiting?
Mr. Chairman, with respect to what's in the contract, there is a wage freeze, which you would not have the ability to implement without the contract. You would have to negotiate that item. What I can't answer is what other things are remaining in this contract that you cannot affect next year. They would be, you know, work rule type things, those types of things. I have no idea what opportunity cost is on those.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope that the other members of the committee heard what I did, and that is that we're not being assured that there is a better fiscal position we're being put in by enacting this contract than waiting for the new law to go into effect. And I think it again is something that requires us to give some consideration of what our fiduciary obligation is to the taxpayers. And that's why I was asking direct questions of staff to tell me directly, is this a better deal than waiting? And I didn't hear the answer being yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Race. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Mr. Chairman, I think by most objective standards, it's a good deal when you get effectively everything you've asked for, plus flexibility to change your mind. If we impose higher health care costs, those are available to us in the contract, and you lock in wage freezes that you would otherwise have to bargain for. So there is so much uncertainty that is removed in reaching a contract, settling a contract, and not having these issues hang over us, in addition to any legal uncertainty or any other things that may arise going forward. That is why it's a good deal. I think to argue whether there is some possible permutation of concessions that one might wish to extract at some future date but can't be articulated today is an unfair measurement for whether you're willing to go forward on a contract. The other law of the market here is that these are skilled people, and we're not competing. We are competing against the private sector, and so you can't just extract all possible concessions that you might possibly be able to conceive in your mind. I mean, so to look at this, a 9.73% negative lift as a percentage. And the savings on top of savings that we've already been able to agree to with them. By all objective standards, this is a good deal. It can only be for other purposes that you would not want to pursue this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to add to what my colleague, Supervisor Lipscomb, said and remind folks that, and I know some of you, my colleagues, have worked in business. Some of you run your own businesses or have participated in that. One thing that we know is not liked in business is uncertainty. And currently, because we do not have a contract for many of our workers, we have a lot of uncertainty. As my colleague, Supervisor Lipscomb, said, we are almost at the behest now of losing our skilled workers to the private market. These skilled workers who sacrifice very frequently for us and will continue to do that, and this contract would contain yet more sacrifice for them. It does yield savings for us here at the county, and I do fully recognize the importance of that. I recognize our fiscal needs, and I do recognize what the implications for the future will be. For instance, what Act 10 will do, that's not a good comment there, but what it will do to us, what it will do to you guys, it will force yet more sacrifice on us. If we can alleviate some uncertainty, I think that's in our long-term best interest. Even if this is just for a year, I believe, that's a year with less uncertainty, or a year with more certainty than we had in many years prior to this. And because of that, because of the sacrifice the nurses make every day for the people they work with, the people they serve, people who I believe don't often appreciate the nurses' help, certainly rely on them to, if not save their lives, to make their suffering a little less worse. Come on. I urge you, my colleagues, I urge you to support the passage of this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you, Supervisor Haas. I had a... please. Supervisor Jerzyk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was listening to the discussion on the squawk box in my room, if you will. And you know, yesterday we didn't have an opportunity under the rules to even discuss our vote, and I'm sure colleagues noted that I basically was the one changing the vote on the whole issue, and it's my opinion now that Act 10 is in place that we should stop negotiating with unions, but that's not the case with the nurses. This contract was virtually worked out, and I can give you many reasons why I think you should continue to vote in favor of this contract. First of all, the nurses did, based on my request, find out how many nurses are currently subject to taking retirement, and it's a full one-third. While I was chair of personnel, we did ask to have a study done on whether we are paying more or less for our nurses than the private sector. And we found out we're actually paying less. Nurses are a profession that there's a need for nurses, even in the private sector. So if there's one group you want to try to protect and be doing your county constituents a service, it would be the nurses. They work under some very difficult and extreme conditions at the mental health hospital and the jails. And extending this contract is good policy. Plus, you, by extending this contract, allow them to keep their work rules. And I, for the life of me, don't understand how nurses are less important than sheriffs, who are going to retain their collective bargaining. You look at what's happening in the courts with the sheriff and the ongoing turmoil between Sheriff Clark and the courts in how working conditions are being addressed with regard to the sheriffs. And I can only imagine what might happen with the nurses. It's within our power as county supervisors to at least extend this contract and provide some consistency. There is very good policy reason to confirm this contract with the nurses, and I fully intend to continue to vote for it. This was fully negotiated before Act 10 and the Supreme Court came down, and I don't even want to start talking about that chess match. But just looking at it from whether Act 10 was in effect or not, the nurses virtually had their contract negotiated. And it's really through some of the machinations of this board that we haven't already approved it. So there are excellent reasons to support this contract. I strongly encourage my colleagues to vote in favor of this and get this done. I think for everyone else, they may have played hardball too long. It's done. We're finished. And that may have to be fought in a different arena. But this contract is still doable, and we should do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Jersey. Comments? Questions?
Okay.
I had a question on the fiscal note, and it pertains really to item number 9 in the report that we had gotten from Buck Consultants regarding that issue. It seems like there's, you know, uncertainty now as to what savings are actually going to be achieved with the employee's contribution to pension. This fiscal note was put together based on an estimated figure that was used at budget time. Buck is telling us now, at least if we read his report that he gave us in number 9, that number may not necessarily be accurate, and he's listed a host of reasons why he thinks that it actually should be less, most of which I don't agree with, but that's a different issue. And so basically, you know, how does that letter affect this fiscal note? Because the way I calculated it out the other night when I was going over this, we'd almost achieve $500,000 less in savings than what this note tells us we're going to achieve on this contract if we look at Buck's most recent actuary report versus what was actually used when this was put together.
I would defer to Mr. Mansky. He's the one who did the fiscal note.
Mr. Chair, regarding your issue on the pension benefits, the report was put together based upon an estimate regarding the pension contribution of approximately 6%. The number used in the Buck report was approximately 4.5%.
So that would be a drop in this report of about $250,000 from the number that's being reported. That's an estimate that I kind of did off of the top of my head. So that would take the savings from $1.7 million down to approximately $1.5 million or $1,450,000. And it would decrease the savings probably about 1.3%, get you down to about 8.4%.
That's only if the Bucks recalculation is lower than their estimate, which we don't yet know, right? So, I mean, this is still the best what we have.
The number is going to end up somewhere. The number that Buck reported on was 4.5%, which is probably at the low point. 6% would probably be at the high point, because that it's somewhere between the 4.5% and 6% that the ending rate will be, and that's why we're currently discussing with the state of how they do the calculation of their percentage. The state has indicated that their percentage is 5.8%, but they have different calculation methodology and a faster amortization than our pension plan does.
And in terms of the agreement, Chairman, does it stipulate the 6.2, or does it say it'll be whatever?
It'll be whatever it's calculated.
Well, I mean, we're going to get what we ultimately arrive at, right? I mean, they're not striking a deal for less, and we're not trying to get something different than what we're going to impose on everyone else, right? So I guess what I don't understand is what's the, other than that we know that the number is going to change, there's nothing surprising about that. If we haven't been able to calculate it yet, that this is our best estimate today.
Mr. Hare, did you have something to add
to this? Yes. First of all, I wouldn't concede that we're going to end up closer to 4.5 than 6. But you pointed out a part of the fiscal note that's based on an estimate based on what we knew at the time. All these fiscal notes are based on estimates of what we know at the time. We don't know who's going to be in what health plan in the next open enrollment. We don't know who's going to be retiring, who will be coming in at a lower step. And all this is an estimate. Clearly, we think it's about $215,000, $220,000. That difference between 4.5 and 6, it's a big one. But I wouldn't concede that we're going to end up at 4.5 at the end of the day.
Okay. So the contract clearly calls for whatever the formula that we decide on, whether it's the straight arc or some manipulated formula based off of the arc, that it would be adjusted accordingly.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion to approve by Supervisor Lipscomb the contract extension for the next... Oh, one last point, I'm sorry, that I wanted to make. None of these savings are realized in our 2011 budget. This just strictly takes effect. This is an extension that starts January 1st of 2012, so we're not going to save any money to help us this year.
Correct. And it's not really an extension, or it's a successor agreement to their current agreement. It's a separate document. It's not related at all to the 2009-2011 agreement. This is all strictly for 1 year, 2012. Which is somewhat semantics, but it is not. We could not extend their current agreement because that would make it an illegal agreement of 4 years. You can only have a 3-year agreement in place.
So this is considered a new agreement?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Very good. Please proceed on with the vote.
Borkowski?
No.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Cesars?
No.
Rice?
No.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Haas?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
No.
Three no's, three ayes, four no's. The motion failed.
Okay.
Thank you.